If you'll open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, we are dealing with only three verses today. We were going to be referring to some other ones. But pretty simple passage, pretty simple concept, but hopefully we'll bring out some important truths from the Word of God that will help you as parents, that will help you as kids that are here today to learn what your responsibility is before God. In the Blue Bibles, it's page 829. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And then I'd like to just read Colossians 3:20 that goes along with this. It says this, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we look to your word today, as we look at a very important concept for parents to teach their kids, as we look at a very important concept for our children to learn to do, I pray, O God, that we all might be obedient to your word. We might love your word, but more importantly, to put into practice as we know. And so thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be able to share what is in your word as it relates to family. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Not only this passage deals with obedience and honoring our parents, but also all through the Old Testament, we see this emphasis as well on that of honoring and being respectful of our parents. The book of Exodus, the book of Proverbs, then in the New Testament, the Gospels and the Apostle Paul, we see this truth repeated over and over. In fact, to think about it, out of the Ten Commandments, honoring your father and mother is one of the ten. That kind of says something about its importance as well to not only our family unit, but to our society as well. Because if we don't learn that fundamental truth and put it into practice, it really blows up the family and it hurts our society. You see, this passage, Ephesians 6, is in a context that is broader about the whole family. As we looked at last week, wives and husbands and the responsibility of having a marriage that has the Lord Jesus Christ at the center of that relationship, that is really foundational to then going on and giving instruction to children. Husbands need to be the head of their household, and we talked about that and how that's loving leadership as Christ loved the church, and how wives are to follow His leadership and to willingly submit as unto the Lord to His leadership. Then wives and husbands, fathers and mothers, parents are to train their children. They are the authority in the home. The children are to follow. And then today we find children are to obey their parents. Children, and I'm talking to anyone who is under their parents' authority, living in their parents' household. And that includes some of you that are maybe 8 or 9 years of age this morning in our auditorium. Some of the younger ones are gone to children's church or in the nursery. But that also means teenagers that are here. That may mean some college-age young people that are still living at home. This is a command that is given to you. Children, obey your parents. In John MacArthur's book, What the Bible Says About Parenting, John MacArthur says this, teaching our children to obey is more than a matter of good parenting advice. It is a bedrock moral principle that is given a place of prominence among the Ten Commandments and emphasized repeatedly throughout the Bible. He goes on to say this, when you distill it down to the bottom line, here's what you're left with. It is the child's duty to obey, and it is the parent's mandate to teach obedience. Or to say it another way, God gives to all parents the responsibility to build their children's moral character by teaching them to obey God and their parents. Now, it is no secret that this is a real challenge, isn't it? Parents, nod your head if it's a challenge to teach this. Okay, I'll be the first to admit it. And probably this morning you're saying, no, duh, Pastor. I mean, really? I mean, that's just obvious. But it's hard work. There is no easy solution to this. And I would like to just talk about for just a moment, by way of still an introduction, why is this so difficult to teach and to be obedient? I think, first of all, the rebellion inside of us as parents. We don't always respond correctly as parents ourselves. We get angry. We say things we shouldn't say. We don't walk with God like we should all the time. And so there is a rebellion within our hearts as parents. And we fail to teach our kids to obey through our example. Second, there is rebellion all around us. Our society has a great influence on us and our kids. It is hostile to biblical truth and often seems bent on teaching children how to rebel. It laughs at rebellion. It mocks authority. And that from the outside really makes it very tough. In fact, the Bible predicts in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that the last days would be characterized by rebellion. Let me read this for you. But mark this. There will be a terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive. And right in the midst of all this list, it says this, disobedient to parents. So not only do we have the challenge of parents having rebellion in our hearts that we have to deal with, and rebellion all around us in our society, but the biggest challenge, maybe not the biggest challenge, but one of the other challenges is the rebellion inside our children. Do you realize that obedience goes against the human nature? When Adam and Eve entered into sin, when they chose to disobey God, they passed along to the whole human race the sin nature. It was passed because of their choice to disobey. So it takes strength and grace from God to obey. You see, your child, I know you hate to hear this, but your child is a sinner. Okay? My child, my three boys are sinners. The child that you hold in your arms that looks so innocent and sweet is a sinner by nature. You don't have to sit there at the dinner table and teach them how to sin. They do a good job of it on their own. In fact, they really are quite good experts at it. At least my boys were. So it's not something that comes natural to obey. We need to teach obedience. By nature, our children are self-centered, rebellious, and disobedient. John MacArthur said this, "Your children do not come ready-made to obey." I like that. In fact, he goes on to say, "They don't come ready-made to obey or honor you because they're little reprobates." Now, that's kind of, you know, it's not one that we normally kind of would say to one another. Your child is a reprobate, and probably not a good thing to say. I wouldn't advise that. But we know that our children are sinners. In fact, he goes on to say this, "We need to understand that they are unconverted, they are enemies of God, alienated from God, and we have the responsibility and the privilege of teaching our kids about God and about how to obey and honor their parents. They're not going to do it on their own. Children are not born with a hunger for God." Now, I don't know if that takes you by surprise or it's just a good reminder, but this morning, that's the reality, and Scripture reminds us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That makes it a challenge to teach our children to obey. Today, I'd like to look at the three M's, okay? I just want to make it as simple as possible. I want to help you to understand what we're talking about as we think about this matter of obedience, and I want to unpack it in such a way that will be helpful to you to understand. And so the three M's just kind of help me to understand what it's all about, and hopefully you'll remember the sermon as a result. The first word is meaning. Second word is mimic. And the third word is motivation. All right? So let's deal with the first word. Meaning. What does it mean to obey and to honor? In verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And then verse 2, "Honor your father and mother." If I am to teach my kids to do that, or if I am a child here this morning and I am supposed to do that, what does it mean? I believe that honor and obedience are really inseparable. They must go hand in hand. They are really together and must not be pulled apart But I think there is some distinctions there that we'll bring out in just a moment. But children, first, obey. To obey literally means to hear under. It's one word in Greek, but it means to hear under. It involves the idea of hearing intently and conforming to a command. It means to line up under the parent's authority by keeping the rules, but it begins with, first of all, listening. That word listen or hear is a part of it. So every time that you're talking to your child and you say, now listen to me. Have you ever had to do that with your child? I had to do it all the time. Now listen, focus on me, look me in the eyes, hear me out here. I've got something very important for you to know, okay? I've got a command that I'm going to give you, and I expect obedience in this. But the first part had to be listening. And so that's a very, very important part of it. Children, obey. And it's a present tense, has the idea of to be done continually. Obedience is to be the pattern of our kids' lives. And notice it's in the Lord. Children, obey your parents. Listen and put into practice. Listen carefully and do what you're told in the Lord. I think the idea is as unto the Lord, out of reverence for the Lord. Kids, when you're obeying your parents, you're basically saying, God, I'm obeying you. And that's very important. You're to obey your parents, it is a responsibility that you have to them, but also as a part of knowing God and a responsibility to Christ. You are showing respect for God by your obedience. As children learn to obey their parents, they are setting the stage for obedience throughout their whole lives. They're learning respect for authority. Maybe you're saying again this morning, well, I'm a grandparent. I've already done that. I made some mistakes or I did it right, whatever. I don't need to hear you this morning. Well, having grandparents, you have the opportunity of helping them as well. Giving your parents guidance, giving your kids guidance, your grandchildren's parents guidance. And so you're going to have those grandkids around your heart, your house. And you have the opportunity of continuing to help teach and instruct them to obey. There was an article by Cal Thomas back in 1999 in October 15th. And the article was called Obvious Answers to What Teenagers Want. I found it fascinating. Let me kind of give you the gist of this. Two Southern California teachers, disgusted with the wave of violence that was taking place in America, they set off on a tour of 50 cities across America, and they interviewed adolescents, teenagers. 49-year-old Howard and 48-year-old Alex conducted these interviews called Children's Crusade. And their findings are fascinating. The findings are this. Teenagers, whether rich or poor, are not estranged from their parents. They actually want their parents to spend more time with them. And listen to this. They want their parents to listen and set guidelines and make them adhere to rules. Isn't that interesting? Their finding was, after interviewing all these teenagers, is that teenagers are cringing. They're calling out and saying, we wish we had parents who would set rules for us, who would set boundaries and help us to know where we ought to be. Now, you're probably here as a teenager today and say, that's not me. No, I think really there is safety in knowing where the boundaries are. There's safety in knowing that our parents love us enough to set rules and care for us and expect obedience. The way a child shows his or her love for God is how they obey their parents. The way that a 17-year-old boy shows his love for God is to obey his parents. Do you want to show that you love God and you want to please Christ? Obey your parents. Well, that's obedience. How about, what is the difference between obedience and honoring? Honoring literally means a heavy weight, a heavy weight. It implies that we assign the greatest possible weight to a person in terms of respect. We hold somebody in high regard. That's what we're to do with our parents. As children, we're to hold as heavy or in high regard our parents. To honor means to value them. I've put on here on the screen before you, to hold in high regard, to value, to respect. if you notice here, basically, honor is the attitude that goes along with the behavior. The action is obedience. The attitude is honor. The right attitude is honor behind the right act of obedience. Okay? You kind of get the idea? The two go hand in hand. There must be the right attitude behind the right action. Honor behind the obedience. Well, let's move on. The second M is mimic. What does biblical obedience look like? We need to mimic it. We need to see, what does the Bible teach? What is this obedience? If I'm to do it, what does it look like? Turn with me very quickly to Genesis chapter 22. I think here we get an idea, and then we see that kind of the concepts continue to be emphasized through the New Testament, throughout the whole Word of God, and then the New Testament as well. But Genesis 22 gives us an idea of this, coming up with a definition of what obedience looks like. Here we find Abraham has just had, the promised child has come into his life, and he's all excited for many, many years. He's 100 years of age, and his wife is 90 when they give birth to the promised child. Now the child has been growing up and is getting probably in his teenage years and maybe even big enough to overtake his dad at this point in a wrestling match. And here we find in chapter 22 of Genesis this account of where Abraham now is tested. And there's a lot of things that we don't understand about this account and how God would require Abraham to go up and to sacrifice his own son. But it was a test nonetheless for his obedience to God. Was he willing, even with this child that he'd been looking forward to and praying for and hoping for many years, was he willing to give him to God? Look at what it says in verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, Abraham replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance and said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife, and the two of them went up together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father! Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham answered, God himself will provide for the burnt offering, my son. And the two went on up together. And when they reached the place where God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there, arranged the wood on it, bound his son, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. He reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his own son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay your hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. For I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. The account is incredibly moving and stirring to us, especially those of us who have sons, to think about this kind of a picture. But the reality was, Abraham demonstrated for us, I think, a glimpse of what obedience is all about. He obeyed immediately. In fact, in the text it says he got up first thing in the morning and he went off, and it was a couple day journey, and he went off to do what God had told him to do. He obeyed completely. I mean, to think that you'd go to the point where you're not looking around, you're not arguing with God, you're not complaining, you're not whatever, you're not going halfway up the mountain saying, ah, we're going back home. No, he goes right to the point where he's ready to sacrifice his son. He obeyed completely. And third, he obeyed without complaining. So he obeyed immediately, he obeyed completely, he obeyed without complaining. And it's with that as the backdrop and throughout the Scripture that I want to give you three aspects of what this obedience is all about. Obey right away. Obey all the way. Obey with the right attitude. That is the kind of obedience that we need to teach to our children. The first point there that I want you to notice, obey right away, has the idea of It's first time obedience. Some people refer to it as that. Obedience is doing what you're told right away, not after 10 times of saying something. Obedience is not having to be reminded over and over and over before someone does it. In fact, this is not original to me, but delayed obedience is disobedience. I think that that is really true. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Let me give you an illustration of the first point there right away. I'm from upstate New York, and my boss had a sawmill, a business. Then one day he was out digging a hole with his teenage boy. And the hole was probably 3 feet across, maybe even as much as 4 feet across. And the son was down in the hole digging, and he was down probably a couple feet, maybe 3 or 4 feet. And the dad was up top with the loader, the tractor. And so as he's going along, all of a sudden the dad noticed that he had forgot to put the brake on the tractor, and the tractor was rolling right down to the trench, to the hole, where his son was inside. And immediately he told his son, "Son, hit the dirt, lay flat." And it saved his son's life. That was pretty traumatic for us that we're right there and right around the situation. If he had chosen at that moment to say, I don't understand, Dad, what are you talking about? He would have been crushed by the tractor. He obeyed immediately. I think that that was really a vivid picture for me to understand why and how an important truth this is to teach our children to learn how to obey right away. Think about a child near traffic. If all of a sudden they leave your hand and they're ready to run out and you see a car coming and you have to just say, "Stop." And then they think it's a big game and they're running along. If you've taught them to have to say it 5 or 6 times, then that child is in trouble. We need to teach our children to obey right away. Second, obey all the way, not halfway. Partial obedience is disobedience. I can't help but think about this. I mean, I have 3 boys, and I've had opportunities of teaching my boys, you know, yard care and those kind of things. And so some pictures come to my mind. But if I asked my son to go out to the back and to rake the leaves into a pile, and then put them in bags, and then put them out at the road. Well, you know, my son could choose to kind of go out there and say, "Okay, Dad, I've done my duty. I raked all the leaves into a pile, and the bags are still there, and nothing's out at the road, and he's watching TV." And you know what? I'm a little frustrated with that because I gave him the instructions. He obeyed partway, but he didn't do it all the way. And that, again, we need to teach our children what it means to obey all the way. Now, you could say, "Yeah, but Pastor, he probably had a call in the middle." And No. Okay, it wasn't any of that. It was just a child who basically chose to not continue the job. So obey all the way. And third, obey with the right attitude. And I think that's where honor has a big concept of the attitude behind obedience. We need to obey with the right attitude, a willing heart, not arguing, not questioning, not complaining, not challenging. Because you know what? The Bible deals with this in the New Testament, especially when it comes to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were great about obeying the laws, but with the wrong attitude, with the wrong motive. And so really, obedience with the wrong attitude is hypocrisy. Simply external obedience is not true obedience. And we know the Lord's view about hypocrisy and about the Pharisees. There's a verse in the New Testament that my parents taught to me, and I kind of see now why they taught it to me, because it goes along with this third point. Philippians 2:14. In fact, just thumb through the next, just a page or two over in your Bibles, page 831 if you've got a blue Bible. Philippians 2:14, it says this: "Do everything without complaining or arguing." You ever heard that verse before? Parents, that's a great verse. It was used on me a lot, and I used it a lot with my boys too. There was a little boy that was standing on the kitchen table, jumping up and down. The dad told him to get down. The boy kept jumping. The dad raised his voice and told him to get off the table and to sit down in the chair. The boy finally stopped, climbed off the table, and sat on the chair, crossed his arms, and said this: "I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up in the inside. That is not with the right attitude. That is not obedience with the right attitude. I've got a question for you this morning. Do these three things define the way that you obey as a child here this morning? Whether you're a teenager, a younger child, or a college-age young person living at home, do you obey right away, all the way, with the right attitude? Parents, do you insist on this kind of obedience with your children? I encourage you. It makes a world of a difference in your house. You may say this morning, Pastor, but what if my kids just won't obey? I mean, you don't know my kids. I really had some tough ones. Pastor, you're lucky. You had some good ones. Oh, yeah? I'll tell you, we had some battles. We had some challenges. It was not easy. In fact, I encourage you, if you're here this morning, you say, yeah, you don't know, I've got a tough nut to crack in my kids. Well, and you say, you got all the lucky ones, the rest of the people in the church or whatever. No, there's a lot of hard work that took place. And a lot of prayer and a lot of soul searching, a lot of going to somebody else saying, I need your help. We did all of those things. But I'm wondering, what if your kids this morning, I think the next slide just keeps that before us, that question. What if my kids just won't obey? I'd like to give you a couple possibilities on why some of our kids may not obey. First of all, could it be that we have not trained them? Maybe we're hoping that somehow their natural good self will come out one of these days. It won't. It'll get worse. So you've got to really remember that. Maybe we just have not trained them. And here's another one. Could it be that we have trained them to disobey? I'd like you to think about that. And you say, how in the world do we do that? Well, let me give you two ways that we maybe train our kids to disobey. First, maybe through bribes. Bobby, if you'll obey, I'll buy you a toy. Bobby, if you'll just do what I say, I'll take you to Great America. Well, wow, who wouldn't want to get Great America, a toy? I mean, but I guarantee you, you're in a heap of trouble when your kid gets to be a teenager. What are you going to give them then? I'll give you a car. Yeah, man, you're going to be in a heap of trouble if you always have to be bribing your kids to obey. I think there's a big difference between rewarding and bribing. I think if your child has done a great job all day and you've not, said, hey, I'll give you this and I'll give you the world if you just obey. But maybe they've just been great that day. They followed your leadership and say, you know what? Bobby, you've done a great job today. You've really listened to mom. You've done whatever. Let's go out for ice cream because, man, you've been A-OK today. I think that's different than going ahead of time saying, I think it's better to look back at it afterwards and reward their faithfulness than to always be bribing them to obey. Here's another way I think we teach our kids to disobey. By threatening, anger, and a lack of follow-through. You beg, you plead, you threat, you repeat over and over again to your kid, and finally, they obey. Let me give you an example of that. Johnny, pick up your books. 5 minutes later, nothing's taking place. Johnny, pick up your books or I will punish you. Nothing happens. Johnny, I mean it. I'll hurt you. I'll ground you for a year. 5 minutes later, nothing's happened. Johnny, did you hear me? Get with it. I'll take your bike away. I'll give it to the poor. The child knows when you've reached the point where you probably ought to obey. It'll be a little bit better for him. But are we training our kids to just, they know. I mean, they can tell. Your blood is starting to boil and your mouth is starting to froth. Okay, I probably ought to obey mom and dad now. Again, your child is smarter than you think. Here's another one. Again, if you do this in your home, I don't mean to offend you on this. But in our household, we didn't do this counting. In Awana, I see the significance of it. Counting to three for quiet, getting a kid's quiet. But if you count to three, when is your kid going to respond? 2.5, 2 9/10, 2 56, 60, whatever. If you count to 10, when is he going to respond? At 9.5? I mean, they just know. They know you've reached a point where I better do it. They've screamed. They've threatened. They've done everything. We need to teach our kids to obey right away, all the way, and with the right attitude. Well, we've looked at meaning and we've looked at mimic, third, motivation. From this text and others, we read that there is a motivation here before us. What is the motivation to obey? Number one, it's commanded by God. It's commanded by God. It's not an option. It's not a nice suggestion. It's not like if you feel like it, if your parents are sweet and genuine and nice all the time, then obey them. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say when your parents finally figure you out and know all about you and do the right thing. It says, obey and honor. I hate to even use this illustration, but the reality is I know that some of you in this room are greatly pained when I talk about the relationship between you and your father, you and your mother. Some of your dads did terrible things to you, and I know that. And I've cried with you. I've wept with you over that. I was talking with a person recently who, when his dad died, he said, I need some time alone with my dad. And so all the people cleared out, family members cleared out, and he went in and cursed his dad out. He had the first opportunity to tell his dad what he really thought about him. All the venom, all the anger, all the bitterness. That is sad. That is extremely sad. In fact, he even told me later, this gentleman did, that he felt like urinating on his own dad's body right there before him. I mean, that is sad. I know that some of your fathers have done some horrible things. And it's sad, those cases. But you know what? Even in them, God alone is the only one who can help us to honor our parents. But God holds this matter of honor as being very serious. In fact, some of you kids today, you want to go back in Old Testament times? Listen to this, Exodus 21:15. Anyone who attacks his father or mother, and that goes on every day in America, they were put to death. Exodus 21:17. Anyone who curses his father or mother, you got it, they were put to death. In Leviticus 20, verse 9, it says, if anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father or mother, and his blood will be on his own head. Proverbs 30:17, an interesting picture. It says this, the eye that mocks a father and scorns his mother will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley. Ooh, that's a pretty nasty picture, isn't it? But I think it gives the idea, and we see throughout the repetition of this whole matter of honoring parents is brought out throughout the whole Bible. To disobey parents is symptomatic of someone who has left God out of their life. Romans 1, in the mix of all how people have been given over to their immorality and ungodliness, right in the midst of that list of ungodly behavior is disobedient to parents. It's commanded by God. How many kids, by the way, how many teenagers do you think it took to be killed because of cursing out their parents would it have taken for the rest of them to get in line? Probably one. I mean, when going off and seeing that stoning that took place in the marketplace, I think it would have been, you know what? I think I'm going to shape up here. I'm going to get in line. That's a motivation, though, to know that God expects that of me. If you want to please God today, young people, if you want to please God, the best way you can show it is by obeying your parents and honoring them. Second, it's the right thing to do. The best way to show that you please God is obey Him. It's the right thing. For this is right, verse 1 says. It's the proper thing to do. It's the way that God ordained it to be. Even in our messed up culture, unsafe people know it's the right thing to obey your parents. It's well-pleasing to the Lord, Colossians says. It's commendable before God. It's the right thing to do. And third, what's the third motivation? It is rewarded. Notice verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. It's kind of interesting, and we won't go into a long passage, but Deuteronomy 5:16, Exodus 20, Exodus 21, there was a literal blessing in the land. In fact, the change, the quote in the Old Testament, or what it said in the Old Testament is that in the land, you obey your parents, you'll have long life in the land. It's talking to promise to the Jews. And the promise was you'd remain in the land longer. You'd live a long life in the land if you obey your parents. If they wanted to stay in that promised land, they needed to do what God wanted them to do. In Ephesians 6, what are we talking about? Is this still applicable for today? I mean, when it says, and there is a little change of wording, it says in on the earth. I think this is a principle. It's not an absolute black and white guarantee. It's a principle. The principle here is that when children obey their parents in the Lord, they will escape a great deal of sin and danger, and therefore avoid the things that will threaten to short their life. There are some people today that have just chosen to rebel against their parents, and they've gotten lifestyles, they've gotten habits that are destroying their life. So I think there's some natural ways that we destroy our life, we shorten our life. I've been at the gravesite. I've been in the room with the body of a young teenage man who just totally destroyed his life with cocaine. Went against his parents' rules, went against the regulations, and it was just a renegade. And to stand there and to weep over the body with the parents, and to this day the parents still have not gotten over it. And this was 20 years ago. Folks, that's sad. But I believe that there's some common sense thinking as it relates. You follow the instruction of your parents, and it's going to go well with you. Your quality of life is going to be better. You're going to bring joy to yourself, and you're going to bring joy to your parents. And then the quantity of your life. Again, through foolish decisions, people destroy themselves all the time. And we see that happening all across our nation. So I believe there is a sense that this is a biblical principle, that the quality of your life and the quantity of your life is going to be better if you follow and obey your parents. Well, this brings us to the conclusion. Parent, does your child obey right away, all the way, and with the right attitude? If not, where are you falling short? We're not here to condemn you. I know as a parent the struggles. And again, some of you already know, when my oldest son was going through some of his struggles in junior high, I thought I was going to lose my son. I'd never had one before. He was my first. And going through the teenage years and the struggles that were involved, I had to go to a biblical counselor. That was humbling for a pastor. I'm supposed to know all the right answers. I don't. I needed help. And so I went, and through that I learned a lot, and hopefully I'm a better person today and a better father because of it, and a better counselor myself because I went through it. I know what it's like to be on the edge of my chair saying, I need your help or I'll lose my son. I had to ask, what do I need to work at? What do I need to do that's different? Parent, no bribing, no screaming, no threatening. Don't give over your responsibility to someone else. Don't pass it off to the church or the counselor, to the school. It's your job. If you're struggling, ask for help. If you're struggling, go to parents maybe that have done it before and say, how did you do it? What can I do? What can I learn? There's no shame in that. Humble yourself and seek out help. And today, children, you can obey. It may be hard, but God commands you to obey. Are you willing to obey right away, all the way, and with the right attitude? There will be blessings, I believe, in your life if you follow God's way. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to this passage, yet so simple but yet so profound to try to put into practice in our families, God, I pray that you'd help the children in this room and those that are in the other room to do what is right. I pray that you'd help us as parents, as grandparents, as aunts and uncles, as people who are in children's ministries. Oh God, help us to train our children in our own households, in our extended family households, as well as in our church. Help us to do a better job, the best job we can, of training them the importance of obedience to a great and wonderful and good God. Father, your commandments are not to frustrate us. Your commandments are because you love us. You want to protect us. You want us to have the best life possible and the best relationship with you. So God, help us to do the right thing. In Jesus' name.